2 Corinthians 7, 9 and 10 is our text this evening. Second Corinthians 7, verses 9 and 10. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. In the first letter to the Corinthian brethren, the Apostle Paul had many corrective things to say to them. They needed to repent of some things. They needed to change their outlook. They were going after the wisdom of the world, and they needed to go back to the Word of God. They needed to change from some worldly actions that they had taken back to godly actions. The Apostle Paul, in this second letter, is writing a letter of comfort to them because they had made some changes. He tells them about some of the changes that they made and wants them to take lessons from it. But sometimes our translations are not helpful enough. We read a word like repentance and wonder if we have a clear conception of the meaning. Do you really know what repentance means? We don't use it much in conversation. I can imagine two people talking just a regular old everyday conversation and using the word repentance in its correct way. We don't use it that much. We are acutely aware that the modern meaning of a word may not convey the meaning of the original. This is a word that is essential to understanding. Paul associates it with salvation in our text. In Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, this passage makes us understand that the lack of repentance brings destruction. He says, Jesus says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repentance and repent are used in pivotal passages. Luke 24, verses 46 and 47. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. The giving of the Great Commission includes that word repentance. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. So far as the importance of things that have happened here on this earth, you can't find a more important event than Acts chapter 2, than the giving of the Great Commission, than the words on the day of Pentecost. But what if you don't understand it? But what if it just slips right on by because you haven't used that word? You don't know what it's talking about. What if you think it's the feeling of sorrow? Well, you'd be wrong on that. What if you mistakenly think that it is good deeds? Again, you'd be wrong. Many people think those things about the word repentance, but it's not correct. What I hope to do this hour is to show you, using Bible examples, just what it is to repent. Then when you've examined yourselves and asked, have I truly repented, knowing that you're required to, you're required to change your mind and align it with God's, you'll know exactly what to do. So what is repentance? The case of the Ninevites. Do you remember the Ninevites, Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2? And then the whole of the chapter 3? Jonah is told to go preach to the Ninevites, telling them that their hour is coming. Coming soon, coming quickly. Well, the Ninevites hear this, and even though they're not told to repent, they repent in sackcloth and ashes. And having done that, God is impressed with what they've done. Now later on down the years, they're going to go in that same path again, and God is going to destroy them. But at this particular point in time, at the time of Noah, it's simply that they hear the word of God, they change their minds, and God allows them to live. Matthew chapter 12, verse 41. Matthew chapter 12, verse 41. Our Lord uses the case of the Ninevites in his preaching here. Matthew chapter 12, verse 41. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it because they, what? They repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, the greater than Jonas is here. They repented. They were going in one direction. They were told that because of that direction, they were going to die, and began to go in another direction. They heard the preaching of Jonah. They were challenged with the truth. They came to understand that the God of heaven condemned their lives. Then they believed God. They believed the preaching of Jonah. They were convinced or convicted that Jonah's message was real. Perhaps they learned about Jonah being in the big fish. Perhaps they learned about some other miracle that Jonah did. Perhaps they were told about the coming of Jonah. I really don't know what they based upon, what they based their belief upon, but they believed. Perhaps Jonah had confirmed a prophet many other ways, been confirmed. Their life changed from pride to humility, from well-clothed to sackcloth and ashes, from satisfaction to self-denial. They went into fasting. From idolatry to true worship, they worshiped the one true God. From evil to righteousness, the temples closed their doors, the nightlife shut down, there was no drinking, no carousing, peace and calm enveloped the city. Indeed, they had changed. And none of the points above outlined above can you find repentance proper. That is, you can't see it, only its effects. Our text, 2 Corinthians 7, 9, and 10, tells us it's not godly sorrow. Not godly sorrow. Matthew 3 and verse 8 tells us it's not fruits or works. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 8 is an interesting passage that brings to mind what John the Baptizer preached. Matthew chapter 3 verse 8 reads, "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." We all often think of the fruits as the repentance itself, but it simply is not. We see the fruits of the Ninevites, but where was the repentance? No, the fruits, they are the markers that tell us to look for the repentance, to tell us that there were repentance at some point. Jesus told us that the Ninevites repented. Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 30 illustrates nicely. Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 30. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Matthew 21, verses 28, well, my glasses again. Matthew 21, verse 28. "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, Likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not." Good illustration of what of where exactly repentance is. It's the difference between I will not and I will. Repentance is a change of mind, a change of will. Someone asks you why you're doing a certain thing, something that long ago you said you would never do. Perhaps it's go to worship. Perhaps it's vote Republican. Perhaps it's some other thing that some people find hard to deal with. What happened between now and then changed your mind. And that's what repentance is. You follow Jesus where before you would not, you have changed your mind. That's repentance. So the Ninevites, having heard Jonah and believing God, changed their minds and then changed their lives. At the point of changing their minds, they repented. They were at one time an intensely cruel people. But then God said because of their cruelty, they were going to die. They repented. Perhaps God will let us live. But what is repentance? Luke chapter 15, verses 10 through 24. Luke chapter 15, verses 10 through 24. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, I give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided them unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. We see in this context that the subject is repentance. Notice verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. He remembered from whence he had fallen. He was once in a place where he was blessed of his father. He had plenty to eat. He knew where his next meal was coming from, but he went away to a far country. Verse 17 says, and when he came to himself, he looked around and he coupled the sight of those pigs and how those pigs were eating. He coupled that with memories of long ago when he was with his father. He made a determination, verse 18. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. He said, I will arise. He brought it to action, verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. He began his journey. He confessed fault. Where did the repentance come in? Not when he came to himself. Not when he started for home. Not when he confessed to his father. It was at the moment he determined to make a change. Verse 18 says, I will. A change. A change from his current circumstances to go back home. Once again, there is a point after godly sorrow, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 10, and before fruits or good works, Matthew 3 and verse 8. A point where repentance is found. It's not the godly sorrow. It's not the good works. It is the point in between. That point where you change your mind and say, I'm not going to go this way anymore. I am going to go forward toward the Father. What is repentance? And this is the case of your repentance. Since the day of Pentecost, God has proclaimed through the gospel that all men everywhere must repent. Peter makes a pronouncement on the day of Pentecost. Then Peter said unto them, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, it's ironic that this is where he does this. It's at Mars Hill. It's that place that is the birthplace of the philosophies of men. He goes before the people, And he says, I notice all of your gods, and even this unknown God that you're sacrificing to. Him, he says he's the one that he's going to preach to them, to the unknown God, verse 23 of Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. He says, because of these things, because God wants to overlook this ignorance that you have and is not going to do so anymore, you must repent. All men everywhere, from this place of pronouncement that Paul has found in the city of Athens, Paul pronounces it's time to repent. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Let's turn it around a little bit and ask Paul, why do we need to repent? Judgment. Judgment is coming. How do we know judgment is coming? Resurrection of the dead. This man that God has chosen rose from the dead and assured us these things are true and real. What must we do about it? We must repent. We have assurance that God has spoken, and so we must change our minds, change our hearts about living in sin, about living in ignorance of the one true God. You must ask yourself if you've truly repented, because this is of grave importance. Words have meaning. If you were in the business of being a diplomat, and you went to another person's consulate or whatever else those buildings are called, and you said the word grave, ears would perk up really quickly, especially if the country that was coming to speak to you was much more powerful than you. When it's of grave importance, they start thinking armies. They start thinking bombs and a force. When God says it's of grave importance, or uses words that are equal to that, we must pay attention. All men everywhere must repent. Doesn't sound like you have a lot of choice. It's one of those things that it's either do or die. You have to do it, or you don't exist. It's of grave importance. Did you just make a show of obeying the gospel? Was it peer pressure? Were you just emotional, and for that time period, you felt you had to do that? Did you think you had to please your parents or perhaps even get the girl? All of these things have been used to reckon why one did obey the gospel. What about you? Was it for the purpose that God said the purpose must be? Or was there a moment in time when you determined that you were going to do things God's way, and that for the rest of your life, and that according to His Word, according to His will? Even Christians sometimes need to repent. To find ourselves in sin, we're commanded to repent. In Acts chapter 8 is the best example we can find of anyone in the New Testament in need of repentance. Remember that this is a new Christian, and he has left his old life, but he sees some things in the new life that attract him, and he thinks that he is able to stand before God and be an apostle. Yes, that's what he was trying to do. He was trying to buy an apostleship. He wants this power to pass on the Holy Spirit to others. He wants to be like Peter and John. So he offers to give them money for them to give it to him. And Peter says, your heart is not right with God. Verse 20, but Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee. This man was going to perish because of his new attitude. Because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. This new Christian needed to learn that he had to repent when he turns away from God. For I perceive that thou art, verse 22, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God that perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Remember what repentance is. It's not godly sorrow. It's something after that. It's not good works or fruits. It's something before that. What is in between? What's in between is a change of mind. What's in between is a change of will. You're going to change the way you're going from no longer wanting to buy this gift to simply being a child of God. Now, he was once important in his old life, and he wanted something better for himself, so he was willing to pay for it. But God said no. He had to change his attitude in order to be pleasing to God. What is repentance? Repentance is a change of mind, a change of will. It follows godly sorrow, and that is shown by works of obedience. Having heard the call of the gospel, have you repented? You notice on the day of Pentecost that the apostle Peter put that first. He said, repent and be baptized. Now, it's not a matter of repenting later. It's before baptism. Changing your mind, that is, willing to do things God's way, doesn't mean that you already have done things God's way, but you're willing. You're willing to go forward under the aegis of God. This afternoon, if you're subject to the invitation, if you need to be baptized for the remission of sins, we call upon you to repent. Ask God for the proper way to go. Repent and then be baptized, having confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Have you heard the gospel? Are you willing to be baptized? Let's make that now. If you have once done this, but you've fallen from the good way, tonight is the night. You don't know if you have another tomorrow. Tonight is the night to ask God for forgiveness, whether it's a small thing that's between you and your God, or whether it's something huge. Maybe you think it is. Maybe it's something you think is just so bad that if people ever hear about it, that they'll never speak to you again. I don't know what it is, but it's between you and God. If it's a public matter, you need to make it known publicly so that we can remain in fellowship with you and pray with you for your restoration. But if it's a private matter, right there in your seat, ask God for forgiveness. You know the blood of Jesus Christ is that powerful. It can wash away all your sins, and the blood of Jesus Christ is going to be applied to your soul, and in the mind of God, you'll be forgiven. If we can assist you in your obedience, won't you come and sit on one of these front pews as we stand and as we sing?